بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم وما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إني أمرت أن أعبد الله مخلصا له الدين صدق الله العظيم وذا فضل كرم الله سبحانه وتعالى. We once again continue the discussion we had commenced last week, and the topic was ikhlas, sincerity. And we had discussed the ayat of the Qur'an, few verses of the Qur'an pertaining to sincerity, ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a few incidents. And just to recap again, we mentioned the hadith, إِنَّ وَالْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, and the hijrah the Sahaba made from Makkah, they went to Medina. And amongst them there was one particular Sahabi who made this hijrah, this migration, to marry a woman who had migrated to Medina. And she agreed to marry this Sahabi who was living in Makkah only if he came to Medina Munawwara. If he made his hijrat, then she would marry him. So he made this hijrat solely to marry her. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed about this, then he mentioned, innamal a'malu binniyat, that every action or actions are only judged according to the intentions. If the person's intention was solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will be rewarded in hereafter. But if the person does any action for any dunya purpose, any dunya motive, then he will not be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps he'll achieve that the reason for which he migrated, for any worldly motive, he'll achieve that. But he won't get Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just to mention that incident, this particular Sahabi, when he made his hijrat and later on he realized his mistake, that he should have made this hijrat solely for the pleasure of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only, and not to get married to this woman. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'een, they did not expose this person. Right till this very day, we did not know the name of that particular Sahabi. When they would refer to this incident, they would say, Muhajir Ummi Qais, the one who made hijrat for Ummu Qais, the mother of Qais. Her name was Qaila. But we do not know this Sahabi. In other words, they did not use these incidents and errors and mistakes that others made to humiliate the person. They would cover up the faults of every person. So they did not even mention his name. They would just say Muhajir of Ummu Qais. Then also we mentioned Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, when he is on the chest of the enemy, about to attack him, and suddenly the person, the Jew, spits on his face, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu leaves him, and the Jew is astounded, why did you leave me? You had every chance of killing me. He said, now that when you spat on my face, I lost that sincerity. I was doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now if I had to attack you, it would have been just to fulfill my own desire, and just to take revenge. So like this, we mentioned other incidents, inshallah, we continue today. There was an alim who had given a talk in the Jami Masjid of Delhi, if I'm not mistaken, Shah Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi. And the talks they should give were for a few hours, and the masjid should be packed to capacity. And after the entire session, when people had already dispersed, as Maulana was coming out, he sees one person from far coming, running towards the masjid, a Bedouin. And he comes and he makes salam. He says, I heard there was a bayan that's going to take place here. So Maulana said, yeah, no problem, come. So Maulana goes back, sits on the mimbar, and he gives this entire bayan and lecture to this one person, single person, sitting in front of him, with the same fervor and spirit that he had given to the rest of the people who were there. For 2 hours he had spoken. Again he spoke to this particular person alone, because this person was sincere, and he came with talab. And then we also see the sincerity of Shah Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi, whichever alim it was, that he could have just given him a summary or a gist of whatever he spoke about. But because he saw the genuine talab of the person, the thirst the person had for deen, so he gave him the entire talk in the same spirit. Like that, there was Umar Palanpuri Rahmatullahi, who was very well known in Jamaat and Tabligh. He had come here to South Africa many times. Very great personality. He was in the Markaz of Nizamuddin. So many years ago when he went to Egypt, at that time there was no real doubt that Tabligh taking place in Egypt. It was something new there. So he gave a talk in one of the masjids there. Of course, most of the people had not sat for the talk. They went away. But there were a few people and then they also left. Finally, there was one person only sitting there. So Maulana had given the entire 6 points of Tabligh that he was speaking about. And when he finished, he met this person. But as he met the person, he realized this person is deaf, he cannot hear. Now this person writes and he says, tell me what you have spoken, write to me. Maulana wrote out the entire 6 points, the entire bayan he gave. He wrote the entire bayan for him and then gave him. Now this is what you call ikhlas, sincerity. We don't have this. We lack these qualities. And therefore deen does not spread. And therefore we don't find ourselves connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we don't see our masajid, our madaris, our lives. We don't have this special attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we lack in sincerity. Inshallah we continue today. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayh, also another very great alim, he was known as Mufti Azam of Pakistan, the main Mufti of Pakistan. Today we see his sons, Mufti Taqi Usmani, Mufti Rafi Usmani. So Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi was the Khalifa of Thani rahmatullahi alayhi. He has written Ma'arif al-Quran and many, many books which are very valuable to ulama-i kiram especially. So he says that he was invited to give a talk once, and the topic was on ikhlas. So he says, I went there, and he says, yes, indeed, this is a very important topic. Is door mein ikhlas ka hi fukdan hai. There is no ikhlas today. We don't have ikhlas, we don't have sincerity, and therefore it is important that we should speak about ikhlas. So then he says, I myself, I am void of ikhlas and sincerity. I lack sincerity, I don't have ikhlas. So somebody might say that, Maulana, why are you going to discuss about ikhlas when you don't have ikhlas yourself? And there's a verse of the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. Why do you say things, why do you preach things, which you yourself are not practicing upon? So the ayat of the Quran is saying, don't say things if you are not practicing upon it. So he said, I don't have ikhlas, and now I want to talk about ikhlas, so somebody might make this اعتراض against me. Then he says, Hazrat Thaniwi rahmatullahi alayhi gave a very beautiful explanation of this verse, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. O believers, why do you say things that you're not doing? You see, the meaning is not that if a person lacks some quality in Shariat, he does not have that particular good deed in him, that he is now prohibited from preaching that particular thing to somebody else. No. That's not the meaning. The meaning of this is, and Hazrat says, I will quote his words, ye ayat da'wa ke mutalliq hai, da'wat ke mutalliq nahi. Very beautiful. One is da'wa. A person makes a claim. He says, I am a namazi, or my namaz is perfect, or I read namaz according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And da'wat is to invite towards the good deed. So he says, this verse refers to da'wah. Don't claim that you have qualities when you lack those qualities. لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. If you yourself lack those qualities, then don't claim that you have those good qualities. This is the meaning of the verse. It does not mean that one cannot invite somebody else to some good quality. Yes, when you invite, then you must have that intention that, Ya Allah, I lack in this quality. You also give me tawfiq, I'm inviting the people, I'm mentioning these good qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or these aspects of Sharia and Deen. Ya Allah, I lack in those qualities, but you must have a genuine niyat yourself that inshallah when Allah gives you the tawfiq, or you'll make every effort to bring those good traits and characteristics and qualities into your life. Yes, it shouldn't be you calling towards people, but you have made up your mind yourself that you are not going to practice upon that. That is incorrect. But Hazrat Thani Rahman says that this ayat actually refers to those people who claim. An example I gave is, he says, I'm a namazi, or I read namaz of with khushu and khudu, with humility. And if he lacks in that quality, then that is not correct, he's lying. So that is what Allah is referring to. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. And then Hazrat mentions that he, in his talk he gave on ikhlas, we mentioned a few things last week as well in the same verses, and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a person who does any action for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for show, for riyah, out of riyah and ostentation, he wants people to praise him on that action. Then on the day of Qiyam, Allah says that I don't need that action that you have done. Go and take the, reap the rewards from the other person who you did it from, for. And obviously that person will not be able to reward this person. Then Hazrat mentions that every amal has a mold, a cast. But the ruh is ikhlas. Ikhlas is the ruh. Last week we had mentioned that that's the roots, something which is hidden, you cannot see. Nobody knows the ikhlas of the next person sitting here, because ikhlas has to do with the heart. And that is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only Allah is aware of what's in the deep recesses of the person's heart. So if you don't have ikhlas, this tree will not bear the fruit, not bear the leaves. So the amal will not be good. Therefore, one has to worry about the ruh, the spirit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Mulk, لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَرًا, that Allah wants to test you in this world to see which one of you or which of you is doing أحسن, the best in actions. In other words, whose action has got حسن in it, whose action has got beauty in it, who's doing the action with the right qualities, and not أكثر عَمَرًا. Allah is not asking about quantity, how much you are doing. Allah is asking, Allah wants to see how well you do those actions. The word that is used is ahsan. Hasan means good. Ahsan means better, beautiful. So Allah wants to see how good we do those actions. Sometimes a person performs a deed and he is more worried about number, quantity. If he has no ikhlas in it, then all that action he has done in the eyes of Allah is null and void. And on the other hand, he does something small, but he does that with genuine sincerity, with genuineness, sincerity. He does it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though it is a minute action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards him immensely for that action. And I mentioned, I think last week or some other time, a person comes out and he sees some bread, or he gives a person some bread, and he has a desire in his heart, genuine niyat, that if only he had a huge mountain full of gold, he would have given the poor, the needy. On the day of Qiyamah, he will get that entire mountain of sawab, as though he spent that amount amongst the poor. Why? Simply because his niyat, he had ikhlas in his niyat. So therefore, ulama mentioned, very important, Fuzayl bin Ayaz rahmatullahi used to mention, that how do you know what is ahsan wa amala? Two things. The action has to be sawab. Sawab is with a sawd, which means it has to be accurate. And accuracy means it must be according to the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So any action we do, it must be in conformity with the sharia. What Allah and His Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how they have asked us to perform that action. So you look at the sunnah, the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we carry out any deed, perform any deed, that it must be according to the sunnah. And the second thing, it must be done with sincerity. So these are the two important ingredients of any action that we do, if we want it to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want it to be ahsan wa amala, if you want beauty in that action, it must have ikhlas, and it must be according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for this reason, is a hadith that is mentioned
that one mud, now mud is a quantity in Arabic. In simple terms, we'll take it for our understanding. 1 kg. Now 1 kg of grain or rice or anything that a Sahabi spends in the path of Allah. Listen very carefully. 1 mud, for our purposes, I said 1 kg, a Sahabi spends in the path of Allah, it is greater and more superior than our spending an entire mountain in the path of Allah. He spends so much of grain and crops, which is equivalent to a huge mountain. Then that amount we spend in the path of Allah cannot be equal to that 1 kg a Sahabi spends in the path of Allah. And the reason for this is that because they stayed in the suhbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had in their lives the sunnah and ikhlas. And they would do things solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They never did it for show. Never did it for name or fame. In fact, when they would perform any good action, then they would cry after that. And they would cry bitterly, they would cry profusely. That, Ya Allah, have you accepted this action or not? There's a verse in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ Surah Mu'minun in the 18th para. When Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha heard this verse, she understood another meaning from this verse. And she thought that this verse refers to people from this ummah who are fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because perhaps they have drunk wine or they have made zina, they have committed sin, and now they are scared before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their hearts are trembling out of fear. Rasulullah addressed her, Ya bint al-Khattab, Ya bint al-Siddiq, O daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq. This is not the meaning of that verse. The meaning of that verse is all those who have been given anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they spend in the path of Allah, whatever rosy they have been given, now they spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they give out in charity, their hearts tremble with fear. They are worried, they are concerned. Oh my Allah, am I doing this solely for your pleasure? Or am I doing it for somebody else? Allah, are you going to accept it or reject it? Such people, Allah praises them. And Allah says that they are going very far ahead. Others, they are superseding others in doing good deeds. So Allah praised them. So this is the really proof that Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, after any action they did, any good action, they would be concerned that Allah Ta'ala must not reject this action. Allah must accept this action. We see Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam in the days of Qurbani now. When they built the Kaaba, at the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did they say? Rabbana taqabbal minna. Allah, we are weak. Allah, this is our feeble efforts. Allah, we tried. Allah, you accept this from us. Innaka anta sami'u al-alim. You are all hearing. You are all knowing. You have heard our plea. You have heard our supplication, our cry. Allah, this is our sincere, humble efforts in front of you. You know what is our intention. Oh my Allah, you accept it from us. Now imagine, great Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. This was the fear, that whatever action we do, it must be such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be pleased with it, and Allah must accept it from them. Hazrat Mawlana Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah mentioned that there are two benefits or rewards or athar of ikhlas. He says one is a person will get the reward in the akhirat. Akhirat mein wazan bharne ka. Because of the sincerity of his action, whatever deed he has done, Allah Ta'ala will intensify this deed. Simple example, person performed 2 rakat nafil salat. But he did it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for show or name or fame. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him. Then on the day of Qiyamah, because of the sincerity of this action, because of the ikhlas, Allah will multiply this reward. Allah will make the simple two rakats, these deeds of His, very, very weighty and heavy on His case. Now this is the effect of ikhlas. And the second effect, he says that, dunya mein mukhatab par athar andaz hone ka. He says, when a person has sincerity, and if he has to address some people, and he has to encourage others towards some good deed, then because of his sincerity, it will have a very great effect on the hearts. People don't become affected. One of the reasons for this is that the speaker is not speaking with ikhlas. When the speaker speaks with ikhlas, and of course the other reason also sometimes, if a person is not listening, his mind is not there, the listener himself has no ikhlas. Hazrat Mawlana Wasiullah Rahmatullahi Alayh, he had mentioned the statement of Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And he said, بِقَدْرِ النِّيَا يَحْفَظُ الرَّجُلُ. A man memorizes, and he by hearts, and he absorbs into his heart, he imbibes in his heart, whatever is being advised to him, whatever he is listening to, according to his niyat. If his niyat is correct, then he will gain the benefit of whatever is being said to him. But of course, if we're sitting and we're snoozing and fast asleep, or our mind is on something else, then we are not going to benefit. Therefore, it is important that the listener and the speaker both must have ikhlas. Nonetheless, the main thing here is that the person who is addressing the people, the one who is addressing the assembly, he must have sincerity. And sometimes, you see, even though the thing that he is going to mention may be bitter, may be a bit heavy for them to swallow, but because of his sincerity, Allah Ta'ala makes it very easy for them to absorb into their hearts and then to make amal on it. Now this is the effect of ikhlas. I used to hear Hazrat Mawlana Umar Ji Sahib Rahmatullah mentioning this. Many times it is mentioned in other kitabs as well, of some great alim in India. And he was doing sterling work amongst his people. Thousands would come to him, to his programs and his majlises and his bayans. A very simple person. His talks were very, very simple. His son also becomes an alim, graduates. MashaAllah, he's very good in tafsir and hadith, and he's a very good speaker, very eloquent. So he thinks to himself, you know, let me give a nice fiery bayan and stir the hearts of the people. So he tells his father says, okay. So he gives him a chance one day, and he gives a very good bayan, very eloquent. And everybody is sitting there, but he cannot see any effect on their faces. Any effects in the hearts of the people, he just sees them looking blankly at him. He thought they would say Subhanallah, and they say Takbir, and they say MashaAllah, but everybody looking back at him just left. So he couldn't understand. Father said, don't worry, sit down. The father comes in the chair, and all he says, Bayo, today my son's mother, in other words my wife, made some kheer, Billi Aayi, the cat came and toppled the whole pot. And all the kheer got spoiled. The entire majma started crying. Everybody started crying. Now we'll think, what are they crying for? I mean, what are they? Then he tells his son, you see, the crying of these people is because of the effect of my sincerity when I said this. And this has an effect on their hearts. So Allah Ta'ala give us ikhlas all the time. Otherwise we will speak. Of course, even though sometimes the person does not have ikhlas, and because this is Quran, Hadith, Mawa'iz of Mashayikh, Ulama, Ahlullah, there will be some benefit. But the benefit is greater when the speaker himself speaks with ikhlas. And of course, the listener also has ikhlas. Then we see the ruh, the jan, the spirit, the essence of our amal. Imam Shafi Ahmad Usmani Rahmatullah Ali was the cousin of Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah. We're talking about all these all giants of Islam. Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, wrote Tafsir of Uthmani. He used to say, Haqq Baat. Anything which is truth. If it is said with the correct niyat, Haqq Niyat say. So Haqq Baat, Haqq Niyat say. Haqq Tariq say kahi jaye. Something which is correct, it is said with ikhlas, and it is said in the correct manner, then definitely it will have an effect on the hearts of the people. If it is false, then obviously it will have an effect. It may be haq, but without ikhlas, then too you won't get the effect. Sometimes the person says with ikhlas, it is haq baat, but the manner in which he said it was not correct. So therefore the manner also has to be correct, then there will be effect. Otherwise he says, bari bari khatib, many many people have come, orators, and they have given very flowery speeches. But there was no effect on the hearts of the people. But sometimes the person is battling to even express himself, and he says a few words, yet it has such a great effect on the hearts. Our Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali should always mention. He says, it's got nothing to do with speeches. You all will recall, these were his words. It's got nothing to do with speeches. It's all to do with the heart. So may Allah shine our hearts, Allah give us ikhlas in all our actions. Everything we do, always check our intention. Who am I doing it for? Am I doing it to please my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or am I doing it for show? If I'm doing it for show, then immediately we should break our intention, check our intention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah mentioned in the hadith, in Allah la yanduru ila suwarikum wa amwalikum. Allah does not look at the outward features of a person. Allah does not look at the color of the person. Allah does not look at the wealth of the person. So Allah does not look at what color you are, how handsome you are, how beautiful you are. That all is given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes from Allah ta'ala. It's a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah does not judge a person. That's not the criteria. How beautiful you are, how healthy you are, how strong you are, how rich you are. وَلَكِ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Allah looks at the sincerity of your heart. Allah looks at the purity of your heart. Allah looks at the cleanliness of your heart. Allah watches your actions. Is that action according to what I want, what I have demanded? Is it according to the sunnah of my Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala checks. But of course, some person may see then, that yes, then I don't have worry. My beard is in my heart. Allah not looking at the outward appearance. It doesn't mean you mustn't have the sunnah. Outward appearance means Allah does not look at what type of shape he's got, what color he's got, how handsome, how beautiful. And that is why Mawlana Barul Haq Sahib Rahmatullahi mentioned to that person who said, Mawlana, that we got beard in our hearts, we don't have to grow it on our face. So he said, okay, if the pilot is landing and he says, well, today I'm not going to take out the, remove the wheels and will remain inside, like how we see the beard is inside the heart. So we keep the wheels inside the heart of the plane, and we won't remove it, what will happen? The plane will crash. It is the sunnah of Rasulullah. We must be proud of the sunnah of Rasulullah. So don't use this hadith incorrectly, and say, no, that my beard is in my heart. Nonetheless, important thing is, that whatever action we do, it will be solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ali ibn Hussein, Rahmatullahi alayhi, who came from the progeny of, he was the son of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, son of Ali radiallahu. So this is Sayyidina Ali radiallahu, grandson. After his demise, suddenly in the town, there were people who were depending on a particular person who would come at night, secretly, quietly, he would camouflage himself, and he would feed so many hundreds of people. And they only realize that it was Ali bin Hussein. It was him who was coming out of sincerity, ikhlas. He didn't want any person to know. And he would feed all those people. So when he passed on, then for a few days those people were deprived of that food they were getting. And then they realized that the food was coming from Ali bin Hussein, rahmatullahi alayhi. Now this is sincerity. This is ikhlas. How do we gain this ikhlas? Ta'azimur Rabb, we have to realize and ponder and reflect upon the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person realizes the greatness of Allah and how dependent he is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's not dependent on any makhluk, but his source is Allah Rabbul Izzat, and he only depends on Allah, and there is nobody greater than Allah, and Allah is control over everything, then that will bring in his heart sincerity in whatever action he does. He knows that there's nobody greater than Allah. So he must do it for the greatest being. Of course, you can't compare any person to Allah. So he must do it only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to inculcate this ikhlas, we have to have the ta'zeem, the greatness of Allah in our hearts. And we have to reflect on this every single day. And reflect on the bounties of Allah, the sky, the earth, the mountains, the ocean, the sea, our bodies, our physical bodies, our mind that we have, the brains, how it functions, our limbs, the air we breathe, all these bounties, and ponder and reflect over the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we will do this, then we will realize that everything we are doing, it should be only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second thing they mention, أَيَّذْكُرَ إِطْلَاعَ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ ضَمِيرِهِ, that a person should also reflect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of what is in our dhamir, in our heart. Allah is well aware. So we may beguile and deceive and fool the rest of the people around us, and they will think that, mashallah, this person is so sincere. But if there's fasad in our niyat, if our niyat is corrupt, we're not doing it only for the pleasure of Allah. Allah is well aware. Allah is seeing into our hearts. Allah knows already beforehand. And even when we're doing the action. So when Allah is watching us and He knows the nature of our intention, if it's going to be incorrect, then we will be exposed. Therefore, if a person ponders, see, Allah is watching me, Allah knows my niyat. So when he does this, then he will gain ikhlas. So first, person has to ponder and reflect over the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second thing, Allah is watching him, Allah watches his heart. The third thing, a person must ponder and reflect on the fact that he may do so much of so many actions in this world, good deeds, but on the day of Qiyamah, if all those good deeds are going to be lost and destroyed simply because a person lacks in sincerity, so that is the day of hasrat, grief, loss. Person is going to lament. When will a person grieve and lament? When he expected to win, he expected to succeed, and then suddenly he sees that he's a failure. Now on that day, when a person is dependent on every single neki that he can acquire, one little good deed can just change his entire plight in the hereafter. One good deed and you can make it a Jannah. Now if you've got so much of good deeds and there's no ikhlas, you did it for show for everybody else, on the day of Qiyamah, everything is destroyed, you're left with nothing. Therefore Allama Ibn Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi used to mention that a person who does any action بغير ikhlas, without ikhlas, he is kal musafir, like a traveler who's traveling, and he has got in his jirab. Jirab in Arabic means his bag. He's got in his leather bag only sand. He's filled his entire leather bag with sand. Now this traveler is traveling from point A to point B. So when he reaches point B, all he has done, that he has made naqal, he has transported the sand from point A to point B. He has only transported, but the sand has not benefited him at all. But if he took his food, his water, his money, his provisions, then he will move from place A to place B. This provision will be transported and it will benefit him. So like that, a person is only moving his action from here to the hereafter, but he'll gain no benefit from it. What's the use? So this ikhlas is something very, very, very serious for all of us to reflect and ponder. Inshallah, I thought we would just terminate, but there's so many other things to say. Just one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, we'll continue again when we have the next majlis, inshallah. And this hadith teaches us a lot about ikhlas. And therefore, inshallah, if you just listen a little bit more attentively, inshallah, there's a hadith known as the hadith of the cave. It's a very lengthy hadith. I'm just going to give the gist of this hadith. There were three people who were traveling. It was a very dark night. And now they needed to some shelter. And they needed to take refuge. So they found a cave. And they go into this cave. But as they go in, suddenly they see a rock that slips from the top and it closes the entire entrance of the cave. Now how do they come out of this cave? They try desperately, they cannot exit from here. So then they think and they reflect. And let us think of any good action we did in this world solely for the pleasure of Allah. Any good action we have done with ikhlas, solely for the pleasure of Allah. Let us make dua to Allah on that action, O Allah, I have done. If it's done only for you, then you remove us from this difficulty. So the first person, he says, O my Allah, I've got two elderly parents. And every single day it is my duty that I feed them milk, their night drink. And I do not give this milk to anybody else, to my family, until my parents have drunk from it. So I feed them first, then I put them off to sleep. But one particular day, I went into the forest to cut some wood. I got delayed. By the time I returned home, my parents were asleep. But I still took this milk. I stood at their bedside. Perhaps their eyes might open, they might awaken, and I can feed them this milk. He said, the entire night I stood in this position. My children were crying by my feet, but I did not give them this milk. I waited for my parents. In the morning, O my Allah, they awoken, and the first thing I gave them was this milk, and they drank this milk. O Allah, I did it only for your pleasure. Ya Allah, if I did it only for you, then you remove us from this difficulty. Immediately that rock moved slightly, but still they were unable to come out. And this was the count of his ikhlas. Second person said, O my Allah, I had a cousin, female. There was drought, famine. She needed money desperately. She comes to me to borrow some money. I had plentiful. So I said, okay, I agreed on condition that she gives me the chance to make zina with her. She was desperate. So she comes in front of me. I'm about to commit zina with her. And suddenly she says, ittaqillah. Fi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَفُضُّ الْخَاتَمَ إِلَّا بِحَقِّهِ. In other words, don't commit zina. And only break my virginity with its lawful, in its lawful way. In other words, make nikah. Then it's permissible for you. But fi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immediately I realized what I was doing. And I let her go. I did not commit zina. And oh Allah, I even gave her that money, which I was already going to give her as a loan, and I told her not to pay me back that money. I did it only for your pleasure. The rock moved slightly more, and still they could not come out. The third person, then he makes dua. Wallah, I had a worker who was working with all the others, and when it came the day when I had to pay them the wages, for some reason this person went away. He did not collect his salary. So the others had given them. But this man's salary, oh Allah, I invested. And we had a farm. There were cattle, there were camels, there were cows, there were goats, there were sheep, there were crops. Oh Allah, I invested the little salary he had. And sometime later, few years later he comes. And he comes and he demands his salary that he did not take on that particular day, which is a meager salary. But because I invested all that money, the little money he had, the salary he had, and it turned out to be so many more camels and livestock and crops. So, and there were slaves also. So I said, there's all your salary. So first he said, are you joking with me? I said, no, I invested. Thamartu malak. I invested your wealth. So he said, oh Allah, this person took everything. He didn't leave anything behind. Everything what I invested, I said, all this is yours. He took everything away. Oh Allah, I did it only for your pleasure. And then the rock moved slightly more, and they were able to come out from this cave. The ulama mentioned this hadith ul-ghar in the chapter of ikhlas. Now this was the ikhlas. This was the sincerity. So this is how, if we have that ikhlas, even in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on account of the good action that we have done, sometimes a person is faced with such a great difficulty. There's no way out. It tries every maulana, every taweez, every wazifa. On that occasion, what a person should do now, make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Allah, any particular action in my life, you are well aware of it. I have done it solely for your pleasure. And that through that action that you have accepted because I did it solely for your pleasure. Ya Allah, because of that, Ya Allah, you remove me from my difficulty. Inshallah, the person will be removed from his difficulty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to bring in our lives the ikhlas, the sincerity, in our speeches, in our bayans, in our ibadat, in our salat, in our generosity, in our charity. When we help the needy, the poor, we must stop advertising and bragging and showing off. Yes, sometimes it is for targhi purposes, which I mentioned last week in detail. We are not going to go into all those details. But every chance to put our name on some plaque or some name, and everybody must know, then we are going to lose the sincerity. We must give with our right hand that our left hand does not become aware of it. May Allah give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.